So our topic today is holiness at home in our home. Holiness at home in our home. Three important words are in this topic. Holiness. Well, three important phrases or words as the case may be. Holiness at home and in our homes. When we say that somebody is at home with something, what do we mean? We mean that the person is familiar with something, with used to that thing, is commonplace, common practice in the person's life or activities. So when we say you are at home with something in our homes, it means that in our home it is commonplace, it is common practice, it is the usual, the way of life. We are not new to the word holiness, because since this year we've been discussing holiness. But in case there is somebody who is just worshipping with us for the first time, who has not been accustomed to this topic with us here, holiness is derived from the adjective word holy, which means to be perfect in a moral sense or being pure in heart. But if I may borrow from the words of our venerable in part, I would say that the measure of your holiness is who you are when God's eyes, when the searchlight of God is on you. And so it is who you are when you are not being observed, when you are not aware of people watching you. It is who you are when you are not under the scrutinizing eyes of the brethren or people you know. In continuing, I want us to read 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 to 17. I'll be reading from King James Version. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Continuing with New Living Translation in verse 17. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no severance. When he judges, he will remember you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time as foreigners here on earth. We spend a good proportion of our time of life in this earth, in our home. But some of us think that what really matters is how we carry ourselves, how we present ourselves outside the home, maybe in the church gathering, in other places, in our places of work, or in other places where there are important people. And so, when we are caught unaware at home, the story is just different and leaves a lot to be desired. But today, as we look into the Word of God, we will understand and we'll see that God is interested in how we live in our homes as much as how we present ourselves any other place. So today we are going to be charged from the Word of God with the responsibility of a holy living even in our homes. So whether you are a father or a mother, young woman, young man, there is a responsibility you have. God is expecting a lot from us. And we all know that the home and family is the place where the foundation is laid for the kind of life we will live as we grow up, for the kind of person we become. That is why it is very important that our home should be made a holy place. So we will start with considering the role of the fathers as the head of the family. The father, the older men, the elders. What is God expecting from us? I'd like us to read Titus, our text from the index text, Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. But as for you, promote the kind of living that reflects the right teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control and be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have strong faith and be filled with love and patience. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, in the same way, you husbands must honor your wives. Treat her with understanding. As you live together, she may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. So, our fathers, we have a role. We have to create an atmosphere in the home that will enable everybody to thrive with the right moral standard, with the fear of God. As leaders and heads of family, we have to show the way in this. And you can see that the Bible is expecting you as a father to have self-control, to be filled with love for everybody, and to exercise patience with your wife and with your children. And you should treat your wife well. That is a foundation for holy living. Don't treat her like sheep. When you do that, your children that are growing will think that that is the way to do it. Other members of the family will take a cue from you. But if you show love and care and honor to your wife, you are actually honoring yourself. You are actually bringing respect. And everybody else will learn from you. Titus 1 verse 6. Before then, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself. So love is very important as a foundation for holy living. You must be able to express love in your home. An elder must be well thought of. This is Titus 1:6 now. An elder must be well thought of for his good life. He must be faithful to his wife, and his children must be believers who are not wild or rebellious. So you see, God is expecting you to bring up your children to be believers and not wild and rebellious. And therefore, you must start in time. And the best way of teaching, the best way of education is example. So as your children are born and are being brought up in the family, Father, this is what God is asking of you. You have a responsibility that you be faithful. If you are a faithful husband, everybody will know. Don't think that your children will not notice if you are an unfaithful husband. So you will be faithful and you will help to bring up your children as believers who are not rioters. Some translations have been faithful as having only one wife. So our fathers, you are charged with this. You have to be faithful to your wife. You must not keep other women or bring strange women into your homes. Or even take them to hotel rooms or in a rented apartment. That way, the bed of matrimony, your home, is being defiled. And holiness cannot thrive there. You cannot lead your family well into the fear of God when you are doing that. Some men even take advantage of young females in their homes. I'm sorry we have to say this in church. There's hardly any place where people are given the opportunity to listen to this. But it's happening. They take advantage of their male, female health, house health, and other dependents in the house, including the relations of their wives. Such things should not be named among believers. Should not be named among the men of God. It should not be named in the households where children of God live. But unfortunately, there are reports of such incidents. Even among people that come to church and parade as children of God. Hebrews 13:4 says that marriage is honorable in all things and the bed is not defiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge them. And so, if you know that you are guilty of this, you better repent before you incur the wrath of God and it will be too late. Still about the responsibility of the father and the elder. 1 Timothy 3:3-4. He, that is an elder, must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, peace-loving, and not one who loves money. He must manage his own family well, with children who respect and obey him. So, you should not be a wife beater. Don't intimidate everybody in the house. That way, you cannot bring forth the fear of God in your home. Create a loving environment. Be gentle, peace-loving. And don't love money more than you love your family. You go out chasing money till night. And you feel that so long as you have provided money, that you have done your responsibility. Your responsibility is far more than just bringing money. So while you're looking for money, don't be in love with money. So much so that you will sacrifice your family. You must be able to manage your family. That's what the Bible said. And therefore, your children should be able to respect you. Not afraid of you. You should not be intimidating everybody, violent in the home. Not where you come, everybody takes cover. Create a loving environment. We are talking about holiness. This is the practical holiness. Not just what you say. It's living a life of holiness. That is the holiness we are talking about. It's not just what you can preach or tell your children. How you are living your life. That is the holiness we are talking about. So to mothers, we also have a responsibility. Mothers, older women, we have a responsibility. Concerning creating homes where God is feared. 1 Timothy 3:11. I will read. Because of time, I'm reading. In the same way, their wives, that is the wife of the elders, because when you read from, starting from verse 1, you see all the other responsibilities mentioned. But he said, in the same way, their wives must be respected and not speak evil of others. They must exercise self-control and be faithful in everything they do. Titus 2:3. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that is appropriate for someone serving the Lord. They must not go around speaking evil of others and must not be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. You know, God also knows the weakness of women. See? Women are charged not to go around talking, gossiping. Where you live, what are you known for? Do you move from house to house? You know, flat to flat. And peddling gossip about other people in the neighborhood. Is that what you're known for? God is charging us. Do you know that doing that brings homes that are not holy. And then that we should not be heavy drinkers. And please, on women that pride themselves in how many bottles of beer they can finish in a day. Among women, don't be given to alcohol. So that you will be sober enough. So that you will be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. To bring up a home that God will be proud of. Teach what is good. Live a life of example. Don't be rumor mongers and gossips. Ephesians 5:22. You wife will submit to your husband as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ is the head, as Christ is the head of the church. 1 Peter 3:1-5. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands, even those who refuse to accept the good news. So, wives, God is expecting from us to always hold our husbands as heads of the family, that we have to accept their authority. We have to submit. We have to make them respectable in our homes. Even if your husband is an unbeliever, that's what we just read, still accept his authority. Of course, God helping you. Your godly life will speak to them better than any words. They will be won over by watching your pure godly behavior as you present yourself a godly woman. With time, our lives can even make our unbelieving husband to begin to serve that God whom we serve. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. This is where we have a problem. Bible is telling us that we should not be preoccupied with making big fancy hairstyles. We spend 5 hours plaiting our hair. How much did we spend in our home that day? Then every expensive, beautiful clothes that comes, we are preoccupied with making sure that we acquire them. These things take our concerns, our attention, away from the real responsibility God has given us. Expensive jewelries and all that. Remember, I have not preached here that we should not wear fine clothes, that we should not look good. But Bible saying that this should not be our preoccupation. When we do that, we shall change the time we will use to build our homes. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. That is the way the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. Praise the Lord. So, mothers, you can see that we have work to do, that we have to work on ourselves. If we must be able to raise homes of holiness, a holy living, we have the children, you know, we actually want our children to be good, to come out and be best children of God. But we have to show the way. We have to work on ourselves so that we'll be able to impart on them, on everybody in our house. So look at what we are told to do. Titus 2:4-5. Older women must train the younger ones, the younger women, to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely. That is, some versions say, to live having self-control, and be pure, to take care of their homes, and to do good and be submissive to their husbands. So we have to work on this It keeps coming. Submitting is not easy. But we must ask God to help us to be submissive, to accept the leadership of our husband. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. So, we have this responsibility to bring our young girls, our daughters. If our daughters grow up to become a disgrace, we are accountable. When they go wearing naked, being naked, it is pointing to us. It means that we have failed in certain responsibilities. If your daughter leaves home and in campus, he's not able to conduct. It means that something went wrong. That there is a place that we got it wrong. Because when we bring up these children in the fear of God, the Bible says that when you train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he won't depart from it. So when they are of age, they will remember to carry themselves well. They will remember that even in their dressing, they will fear God. So we are trying to say now that what we see outside is a reflection of the home. There is a failure in homes. That's why we see our young girls naked on the streets. That's why we see our young girls sleeping in men's houses. They got it wrong. They didn't have good example. They were not taught well. May the Lord help us so that we do not fail in this responsibility. In Jesus' name. So we have to lay this good foundation in our homes. So that these our young girls, when they grow up, they will learn to also build homes where the fear of God is also the way of life. And so the young girls, you've seen it all. Even as our mothers are charged with teaching you, you have a responsibility to learn. There are some young girls, your mothers are trying their best, but you decide not to. Not to be taught. You decide to do it the way some other people are doing it in their homes. If we take a cue from that Titus 2, 4 to 5, it means that you young girls are expected to learn to love people in your home, to build and be able to take care of your home, to respect the people in the home. So when you are married, you'll be able to do that too in your own home, to respect your husband. You have a responsibility to preserve your chastity. Mothers, we should teach our girls the value of chastity. It is not outdated. Any day, any time, it still stands the test of time. In the Bible, God honors girls, young women that are able to preserve their chastity. When God was looking for somebody through whom Jesus will be brought into the earth, who did he look for? Who did he find? Who was honored? It was a virgin. So God holds people that are able to maintain their chastity with honor. And God rewards such people. So don't think it is no longer in vogue. Don't listen to your school friends or whoever that is telling you that it's outdated, that it's no longer in vogue. It is still fashionable unto eternity. It is fashionable any day. So preserve your chastity. And so you have a responsibility to maintain your own chastity. Fight to make sure that you do not lose it. What about the young men? Let's go back to Titus. This time, verse 6 to 8. Titus 2, 6 to 8. I'm reading from King James Version now. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Young men, you have to be brought up Bible is expecting that you, as you grow up, that you'll be sober-minded. Sober-minded means that you will have self-control. Verse 8. Well, I'll continue from New Living Translation because I like how it brought out some of the points here. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely in all they do. And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good deeds of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. So as we teach these young people, let us live a life of example. They will learn better when they see this in our own life. But you young man, look at what you must, you are also responsible and you are accountable. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example of the believers in what you teach. We're talking about young men. So you must equip yourself so that you'll be able to also teach it. In what you teach, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. So you can see, the purity is not just a business of the girls. Some people think that men, it doesn't really matter. Nobody talks about purity. Your Bible is, God is also expecting you to maintain your own chastity. You are also expected to hold, possess your vessels with the fear of God. Until when you are able to marry. So don't live a riotous life and be a thorn in the flesh of your parents. But if you have come of age and you are ready to marry, think of marriage. If you've come of age, you should think about marriage. Don't be thinking about girlfriends, chains of girlfriends. Start thinking about praying for marriage. 1 Corinthians 7:2 says, that in order to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman her own husband. And in verse 9, he went on to say, that it is better to marry than to burn. Better to marry than to burn with passion. So Bible doesn't mince words concerning these things. There we have to be talking about them. Nobody is spared in this responsibility. If you are a servant, a household, don't say, well, I'm only a household. God has charged you with some responsibilities for you to make up, to complete the holy living in the home, the atmosphere of holiness. You also have a responsibility expected of you. Slaves, or rather servants, that's Titus chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. Servants must obey their masters and do their best to please them. You don't have to be the problem of the house. Don't make yourself the problem of the house because you're a servant. They must not talk back. You see? You must not answer back to your madam or to your oga. You should not steal. They said, must not talk back or steal, but must show themselves to be entirely trustworthy and do good. So, you that is the help in the house, are you trustworthy? Say you have to do your best. Okay? So, don't make yourself an agent of darkness, agent of devil in that home. Don't allow yourself to be used by the devil to seduce the man of the house. I have to say this thing too, because it's happening. Yes, sometimes we say the man took advantage of the girl. But sometimes it is the household. Who goes to seduce the man? Or the uncle in the house? And a young man, young uncle, please, don't take advantage of the little girls. Don't teach them evil from childhood. Time will fail me to give examples, but these things are happening. They are happening. One of our colleagues that was running a clinic where a mother brought children, two of her daughters, about 7 and 5 year old girls, and they were having STD. I mean sexually transmitted disease. The mother tried, could not understand how that can happen. Even at the clinic, the children refused to talk. They said nobody taught them. It took that doctor, God gave her wisdom. After, when they were being followed up, without the mother, he just sent the mother away and promised the children that she would not tell. That was when these children now confessed that it's their uncle. Uncle is their dad's little brother or cousin living with them, who has been sleeping with these little children and gave them sexually transmitted disease. Who knows if they also have a child. So, everybody. But I want to tell you, if you are an uncle who is doing this kind of thing, it is time to repent. Because the home must be holy. Everybody must play his part or her part so that we will present an environment where the fear of God is the order of the day. Because I have limited time, I will be concluding, but I want us to read from Titus chapter 2, 11 to 13. I want somebody to read it for us. Somebody, read us Titus 2.
In the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. So, for all of us, the grace of God has been made available. The grace of God that brought salvation has appeared to all of us. And God is asking us that we should deny ungodliness in every ramification of it. In our homes, in church, outside, wherever. But starting from our homes, because that is the place of foundation. And it's teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. We should live a life of self-control. We should try to live a life of righteousness. We should present ourselves as godly people in this present world. If we say that we are looking forward to the appearing of Jesus, if we say that we are expecting to be caught up when he appears, if heaven is our destination, then we must start living right now. Let us pray. Taking a decision to give your life to Christ, this will not be possible. You cannot give what you do not have. You can't give a holy leadership. You cannot teach a holy living. You must first of all be regenerated. And so God is throwing these to us again. This is an hour of salvation again. Are you ready to give your life to Christ? If you have not done so, this is an opportunity. Time does not wait for anyone. The appearing of God, the world ends as soon as our life is gone. And we don't know when that will happen. If you've given your life to Christ, go through and see where you have gone astray and ask God for help. But if you're making up your mind now to give your life to Christ, our priest will lead us to pray.
Your heart is telling you, I'm still living ungodly. stay involved in filthy habits. I do not have peace as a father, as a mother, as a young person, as a student in school, at college. I don't have assurance that Jesus is in my life. As a visitor, businessman, I don't have the witness that the Spirit of God is in me. This is a time that God has appointed for you. The grace of God, the free mercy of God that brings salvation is here, that you can live godly, righteously, and soberly now, and live above sin. And that's what you want to do. Let your name be reckoned in heaven. As we are praying, all hell is bowed. You want to surrender to Jesus living in your life and giving you a semblance of holiness. Please raise your hand where you are. Just raise your hand where you are. We're going to pray with you. That's what brings one into favor with God and brings him into favor with man too. I'm tired of struggling, pretending, being a false person. Outside I appear good. In secret, at home, I'm something else. I don't have the peace and the presence of God in my heart. Please raise your hand. And as you take this song, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Let the Spirit of God walk in you. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. If I give God my lifetime, He will take care of me. You want to raise your hand? Just raise it where you are. I want Jesus in my life. I want peace. I want the assurance that I belong to God. Just raise your hand where you are. My lifetime. Father, Mother, you have been other than holy. In words, in actions. Oh, you know it in your company. Young man, young lady. This is a moment to just say, Father, forgive me. If I give